Good evening. Our Bible reading for tonight will be in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and the chapter 4. Gospel of John and the chapter 4. And we will start our reading in the verse 46. John chapter 4 and the verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did, when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Amen.
Please keep your Bibles open to that passage tonight. Will be the portion of God's word that I'll be preaching from. And before we turn to God's word, let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Our God in heaven, we do come unto thee at this time of the preaching of thy word. Our God in heaven, we do pray that you would give help. We pray you'd give help to preacher and hearer alike, we pray. May we hear thy voice speaking unto us this night, we pray. Where we see Christ revealed through the word, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the verse 46 of this fourth chapter of John, we are introduced to a certain nobleman. And this nobleman was what we would describe today as a royal official. He would have worked for the king of that land at that time. And no doubt he would have been very wealthy and very powerful. He would have been rich and had access to many things. He would have been able to buy and obtain anything that he would have wanted or desired. He was the man that had great power. We know that about him, and the only other information that Scripture records of him was that he had a son that was sick, who was at the point of death. We read in verse 47, that his son was at the point of death. His son was dying. The sickness that he had would ultimately cause death. This was the condition that this nobleman had. And no doubt, this man had consulted the doctors. No doubt he had consulted the physicians regarding his son. And yet, despite all their efforts, they were unsuccessful. And this nobleman probably thought, he was thinking now as his son was growing gradually worse, he's at the point of dying. He was no doubt thinking, there is no hope for my son. But then he hears that Jesus was come to Galilee. In verse 47 we read, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. And here we see that he realizes that the only one who can heal his son is Christ. He's in a position where he realizes, I must go to Christ. I must seek him out. I must find him for the healing of my son. And therefore we see that the need of his son's healing, the problem that he had, the danger that his son was in, causes him, compels him to leave his home and to go and to seek Christ. to find this man that he believes will heal his son. So we see the need that this man has causes him to seek Christ. And I ask those of you here tonight that are unbelievers, have you realized your need of Christ? Have you realized your need of Christ? And perhaps you're here tonight and you see no need for Christ. There is no compulsion in your heart or in your soul to seek the Lord or to seek salvation. And let me say to you tonight that if that is your condition, you have never seen your need of Christ because you have never seen your sin. Because when a man realizes the state of his heart in sin, he will then see his need for Christ. But you might be here tonight and say, well, I didn't see my sin. Well, let me say to you again, the reason why you are here and you don't see your sin is because you've never come to the law. You've never examined yourself before God's law. Because when sinful man come to the law, their sin is exposed. The law condemns men as sinners. As the Apostle Paul said, he said, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And therefore, if you hear and you say, I have no knowledge of sin, I don't believe that I'm in this condition, let me say to you, it's because you've never come to the law. Because the law exposes men as they really are. Those who've broken God's commandments. Those who've fallen short of God's law. We need to come and see ourselves in light of God's law. And have you ever come and done that, dear friend? You know, this is what we see in Romans 7 and verse 7. And this is what it reads. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And there we have an illustration of the fact that it is by the law that sin is revealed. And so an ignorance of the law will mean that you are ignorant of your condition in sin. And an ignorance of your condition in sin will mean you will not seek Christ. So I say to you tonight, oh, examine yourself before God's law. See your sin. This nobleman, he saw his need of Christ. And he sought Christ. He realized that his efforts, the efforts of the doctors and the physicians at that time, availed nothing. And all men in these days, still in their pride, believe that works will gain them something. And yet we should learn, during this time of the remembrance of the Reformation, what is it that sinners should learn from Martin Luther? Works avail nothing. That man tried to earn his salvation far more than what we would ever try. And yet he came to the position and he realized, works avail nothing, I need Christ. And all that is what you must come to see. You need Christ. Above all, this nobleman, he understood this fact. He came to Christ. He put his faith in Christ. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight I want to examine in these verses a number of things as to what true faith in Christ really is. What is it to have true faith in Christ? Well, firstly, true faith in Christ is invisible. It's invisible. It's a matter of the heart. Now, this nobleman, he comes to Christ, and in verse 47 and 48, he comes unto Christ, and he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And here we see that when this nobleman comes to Christ, he views the power of Christ as being inseparably connected to his bodily presence. He urges the Lord to come down with him to his house. Now the Lord reproves him for this. and reprimands him. In verse 48 he says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." That was not a compliment. It was a reprimand of this man and of the thinking of the age, because this was not the first time that it happened. If you look over in John 6, there we see in verses 24 and 26 that men were following Christ for the miracles. They were following him for the signs and the wonders. They followed him to see something wondrous. And then in chapter 6, the Lord begins to teach the people. He begins to explain doctrine to them. And what do we read in verse 66? It said, "From that time on, many of his disciples no longer walked with him." They were following Christ for the signs and the wonders. And here in this verse, the Lord is saying signs and wonders are not necessary to believing in Christ. And therefore, in that one statement, the Lord completely denounces the entire charismatic movement and its emphasis on tongue speaking, on miracles, on all the paraphernalia that they have. Because there's an emphasis on the signs and the wonders. There's not an emphasis on Christ. This man, he came to Christ seeking the signs and the wonders, and the Lord says no. And this is what we see so much today. Men say, well, we need the miracles to arouse us so that we can receive and tolerate doctrine. We need a bit of activity. We need a bit of entertainment. We need some emotion. And what do we find? Therefore, they're saying the Word of God is not enough. We must have more. But the Lord completely denounces that here. And the Lord says, no, the Word is sufficient. Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Or you see, believing, having faith in Christ, it's not something of outward actions. It's not an act or deeds that we do. But as Romans 10 verse says, 10 verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth." And there's the issue for you tonight. It's with the heart. Or yes, you may attend church. You may be here tonight in God's house. There may be the outward activity. But what about the heart, dear friend? Have you received Christ within your heart? Because this is the key point. Faith is invisible. It's within the heart. Oh yes, the work of regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a work below the consciousness, it's a work within the soul. And therefore, if you're claiming tonight that your Christianity is founded upon works instead of faith, it's not true Christianity. Oh, that is one of the great lessons the Reformation should teach us. Faith alone in Christ alone. It's a work in the heart. True faith is invisible, but then secondly, true faith is simple. In verse 50 we read, "And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth." This nobleman's faith in Christ, it was simply based upon the words of Christ. Those six words, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." That was the basis of this man's faith. It was so simple. The Lord said six words, and it was enough. His faith was so simple. Christ has said so, and I believe it. And here he rejects the signs and wonders, and he realizes it's what the Lord says that's the key. And he believed in Christ's word. And oh, how precious Christ's word should be to us in John 6 and verse 63. John 6 and verse 63, this is what we read. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Christ is speaking of his words there. They are spirit and they are life. And all that is the very foundation of our faith, the words of Christ, Christ himself. And therefore today we do not need rituals. We do not need church traditions. We do not need the paraphernalia of the world or the prophecies of men. But what do we need most? And what do you, sinner, need most tonight? You need to hear the words of Christ. You need to hear the voice of God speaking unto you. And yes, our faith is simply in the words of Christ. Those of you that have believed, think back to that moment when you got saved, and it was when you heard the words of Christ. And your soul was touched. And you gave your life to Christ. And let me say this tonight, Christianity's foundation is Christ, yes, but it's the simple, life-changing words of Christ. Oh, my friend, for true faith in Christ is simple. It's based upon the words of Christ. But then thirdly, true faith in Christ is trusting. It's trusting. In verse 50 we read again, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Here we see this nobleman, he trusted Christ and his word. And he was willing to take Christ at his word. He was willing to put his faith in Christ. And no doubt for this man, there were other voices and other opinions to the contrary. There are other voices telling him not to put his faith in Christ. And think with me in this point. Perhaps the physicians had said there's no hope. Perhaps the nobleman's family had given up hope, and as he left that home, his family had said, you're wasting your time, there's no hope. Perhaps the voice of reason spoke against him, saying, well, we're really going to Christ is not going to help, really. Perhaps he felt that he must still insist that Christ personally come down, as he was doing in verse 49. There were these voices, these opinions, speaking to the contrary of coming to Christ. And yet what do we find? This man believed in Christ, we read there, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And let me say this to you, unconverted person here tonight. There will be other voices to the contrary of coming to Christ. Because perhaps your friends will say, it's stupid to come to Christ. Perhaps the world will scorn you. There will be other opinions to the contrary. Oh yes, but this nobleman believed in Christ. Would you tonight believe in Christ? You see, we sung that hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And this nobleman, he heard those words of Christ, go thy way, thy son liveth. And he took him at his word. He put his faith in Christ. And all I ask you tonight, would you take Christ at his word? And would you hear what the Lord says to you? Salvation in Christ alone. Would you hear that and believe it? Renounce yourself, renounce sin and say, I will believe in Christ the Savior. See, this man did it. And consider this with me when we think of this point of trusting the Lord. You unbeliever here tonight, think with me on this point. If you say that you don't trust Christ, if you say that you will not believe him, you will not put your faith in him, you are basically accusing Christ of being untrustworthy. And you are here and you're saying, I don't believe what Christ has said. He's lying. And you won't take Christ at his word. Oh, that is a serious thing to accuse the Lord of. Because the man who refuses to believe in Christ is basically saying, I don't believe what you're saying, you're lying. And that is a serious thing. You look with me in John 1, 1 John 1 and verse 10. And we read of this. 1 John 1 and verse 10. And this is what we read. 1 John 1 and verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Or he, unsaved person, heed the word tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saying, I don't need Christ, you're saying that I have not sinned. And he that saith we have not sinned maketh Christ a liar. And what a serious accusation that is. But I would say to you tonight that Christ is no liar. Oh yes, Christ's words can be trusted. They are reliable. In fact, you can place your very life into the hands of Christ and trust his word and know that for all eternity, the words that I speak, they are life. Oh yes, that's the question for you tonight. Would you trust the Lord? Put your faith in him. True faith in Christ is trusting. But then fourthly, true faith in Christ is obedient. It's obedient. In verse 50, again we read, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And here we see that Christ commands this nobleman to go thy way. And we see, realize this point, think with me on this, that this nobleman, he had traveled to Christ with the purpose, with the intent of bringing and returning Christ to his home. That was the reason he left. That was the reason he sought Christ. He wanted to bring him back to his home. But here we read that the minute he arrives and the minute he begins conversing with Christ, the Lord sends him away. Can you imagine what that had been like for that man? No doubt traveling with great fear in his heart, thinking, I must get to Christ in time. He finally gets to the Lord and he thinks, maybe here I can, there's hope finally. And he begins to talk with the Lord and the Lord says, go thy way. He tells him to go away. And yet what do we read in verse 50? We read this, and he went his way. He went his way. Oh, let me ask you tonight, is that what you would have done? So many, I believe, in that situation would have protested, would have said, no, Lord, you're wrong here. You've got to do what I think. You must come down. You must be there for my son. But yet this man, he obeys the Lord. He obeys the Lord. And this obedience that he had towards the Lord Jesus Christ, he was obedient despite the enormity of the situation. You see, this man, his son was dying. Those of you that are parents would know the love you have for your children. And if one of your children were dying, the anguish of soul and the fear that you would have, you would understand this better than I would. And no doubt there was this enormity of the situation bearing down on this nobleman. And perhaps he felt frustrated and confused and his heart would have been breaking for his son. Oh, this situation is enormous. What do we find? The man obeyed the word that Christ said. And see, this is tremendous. Despite his emotions, despite his feelings, he obeyed Christ. And isn't that a lesson for us tonight? That so often, because of our emotions, because of our feelings, we disobey Christ. There's no excuse. Because this man, oh, his emotions were running wild, I'm no doubt. But the man obeyed Christ, despite the enormity of the situation. And also he obeyed Christ, despite the uncertainty of the situation. Now, although the Lord had promised him that his son lived, that is true. He had that promise, thy son liveth. He was still yet to see his son alive. When he walked away from Christ, he didn't know whether his son was living. He hadn't seen his son alive. All he had was the Lord's promise ringing in his ears. And yes, he believed it, but he was yet to see that promise fulfilled. And yet, despite his fears, despite his uncertainties, he obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. And this again is a lesson to us that when we step out in faith for God, very often we'll have fears. We'll have uncertainties. Let me tell you this now, if you follow the Lord and the Lord begins to direct you in a way, begins to direct you into a path, you will have fears. You will have uncertainties. But the question for you tonight is, will you obey despite that? Because true obedience will. And again, for those of you that are unconverted, you might have fears, you might have uncertainties. But do you see that obedience to Christ is the most important thing? Oh yes. This is what the apostles preached. To obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore you're under obligation tonight to believe, to obey the gospel of Christ, to repent of your sin, to acknowledge your need of Christ, and come to Him in faith, giving your life to Him. Oh, this is what true faith is. It's obedient despite emotions, despite feelings, despite fears, despite uncertainties. This is true faith. And let me again urge you from the apostles' example. You know, we see this in Acts 5 and verse 29 when the apostles were before the Sanhedrin. And they were commanded no more to speak in the name of Christ. And what do we read? The apostles replied, we will obey God rather than men. Oh, dear believer, tonight, is that your response, that you see obedience to God to be the most important thing? Oh yes, we may suffer for Christ in this world. We will suffer persecution. But is obedience to the Lord the most important thing? Or it should be. If our faith is genuine, it will be obedient to Christ. And then fifthly and finally, true faith in Christ is rewarding. It is rewarding. In verse 51, we read, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. And there we read tremendous words. This nobleman's faith was rewarded. But look in the passage and you will see there that this nobleman's faith was rewarded even before he arrives home. Because as he's traveling home, and think of it, it was a day's journey. And so there would have been time where he was walking back to his home and the words of Christ are ringing in his eyes, ringing in his ears. And he's thinking, I wonder whether or not this is going to happen. And then he sees his servants running to meet him. And they tell him the good news, thy son liveth. And all at that moment, wasn't his soul being filled with joy, his heart rejoicing to know the fact that his faith was rewarded in the healing of his son. What a moment that must have been for that nobleman. What joy that must have flooded his heart. All the fears, all the uncertainties, all that would have disappeared. For the moment that he sees and hears that his son's living, what great joy and happiness there must have been when he realizes his son is alive and well. And he realizes, yes, believing in Christ is rewarding. My son is healed. What a reward that man received by putting his faith in Christ. And then there was more. In verse 53 we read, and himself believed in his whole house. Oh, this is tremendous words. It wasn't just the nobleman that got saved that day. It wasn't just he that put his faith in Christ, but the whole house. Every one of them put their faith in Christ. And let me encourage you, those who have unsaved family members. Oh, here's an example of the whole family getting saved. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Christ working in the heart. No doubt this nobleman would have gone home and he would have told his family of what the Lord had done. Oh, his faith was rewarded. Tremendously rewarded. And now all that's so true for you, dear believer, tonight. Your faith will be rewarded. Oh yes, your faith will be rewarded. And that day when our faith will become sight. And we shall see the Lord. And though the one that we saw in faith, the one we will see in sight. The one that we put our faith in. We will be with him. And in that day we will know our faith is rewarded. In that day we will know that trusting in Christ was the best thing that we could have ever done. We will realize that the one we put our faith in was worthy of putting our faith in. We will realize the one we put our life in was truly able to save. Oh yes, it's true tonight, dear believer. Your faith is not in vain, because it will be rewarded in that day when the Lord returns. We shall see him face to face. And as that hymn says, we shall see him. Redeemed by his side, I shall stand. Oh, this is tremendous words. Oh, yes, dear believer, your faith will be rewarded. That should rejoice your heart tonight to know that your faith in Christ will be rewarded. But this is not so for those of you here tonight that are not believing in Christ. Because let me say this, for the believer, when he gets to heaven, there will be no surprises. There will be no disappointments. There will be no regrets for the child of God when he stands before the Lord, when he enters into heaven. No regrets. Because he will realize that what he believed in was true. That Christ was true. That Christ was the Savior. That Christ was the Redeemer. His faith was not in vain. Oh, but what about the unbeliever? This is terrible, but it's true. When the unrepentant, Christ-rejecting sinner stands before Christ, he will get a rude shock. Because he will realize everything I have believed in, everything I have trusted in, what I have lived my life by was wrong. Was wrong. Because you will have lived your life in rejection of Christ, saying the gospel's wrong, what Christ says is wrong, and yet when you stand before God, you will realize it wasn't Christ that was wrong, it was me. Was me. Oh, I don't wish that on any of you. What a terrible, terrible place to be, to realize everything I've lived by, everything I've believed and thought in this life was wrong. Totally wrong! And therefore that emphasizes the fact we cannot be wrong in this matter. We cannot be wrong on our view of Christ. We cannot be wrong when it comes to salvation. We cannot make a mistake when it comes to believing in Christ. Oh, don't go to hell tonight believing the wrong things. Put your faith in Christ. Oh, I urge you tonight. There will be that terrible shock, that terrible realization when reality dawns upon your mind and your heart. And I am urging you tonight to consider your life. To consider your eternal destination. And I present to you Christ, the Savior. the one who provides redemption through his blood, the one who says, come unto me, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the one who says, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Oh yes, tonight, would you believe in him? And put your faith in him. We've seen what true faith is. And I leave that with you tonight, and I ask you, would you put your faith in Christ? Give your life to him. Believe in him. This example of the nobleman should cause you to think, ponder your soul, ponder your eternal destination. Oh, my friend, we only have such a short life to make the most important decision of our life. Will you make the right decision? Put your faith in Christ. Or may you do so tonight for the salvation of your soul. I pray that you would humble yourself and come to Christ tonight and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am undone. I deserve hell. But Lord, I confess my sin to you. I acknowledge it. And I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. Or would you do that tonight, dear friend, for the salvation of your soul? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.